సహనావతు సహనౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యంకరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. వెన్ లక్ష్మీధర కవి ఇన్ హిస్ 18th the 19th verses established as the objective universe inclusive, which is inclusive of one's body, mind, and complex experience in the waking state is mithya. Mithya. Mithya means what? It is really not there. It is as though. It is not something absolutely unreal, but it is not real. It is as though. So it is not countable, in fact. It is just an appearance. It's like a mist appearing in the cloud, which means how long it can exist, isn't it? Because it's all, like ignorance is like a mist. So ignorance caused, the universe also is like a mist. It can really, once you try to see what this universe is all about, it will become resolved as mithya. It is not there. Really speaking, it is not there. Therefore, that's why he said, the whole this objective universe experience itself is like a long dream, which is happening life after life after life. Life after life, dream, and between one life and other life, what happened is sometime after death, you are in deep sleep state. Again, you start dreaming. You don't wake up at all. There's no wake up. In samsara, there's no waking up. You are in deep sleep state. When you leave the physical body, you are in deep sleep state, not knowing anything, existence, not knowing the existence of the world. Again, assuming a body when you're born, again what now? You are in long dream. Again, deep sleep, again long dream. There's no waking up at all. When do you really wake up? Only in the wake of knowledge of what you are, discovering what the truth is, then that is what is waking up. When you wake up, and then from the standpoint of your own essential nature, this abstract, formless consciousness existence, if you see from the standpoint of this, this jagat is not there. Everything will disappear. It's, in this sense, it's all mithya. That's why he says, life in the form of confusions, okay, all is vibhramaha. Confusions means, anything you experience in life is confusion only. Whether it's a desire is expression of confusion. Strong likes and dislikes, confusion only. There's no clarity. If there's clarity, there cannot be desire. If there's absolute clarity of vision, okay, the truth, then there cannot be definitely desire, anger, fear, anxiety, strong likes and dislikes. All these are symptoms, expressions of the disease of ignorance only. Isn't it? If there's signal, if there's knowledge, definitely there cannot be anger, there cannot be, all these things will be resolved. All these are expressions of what? The symptoms of the disease of ignorance caused by what? The sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I. It is the fundamental problem triggered alone, expressed in the form of these confusions. They're all confusions, expressions of confusions. That's why he used one term, vibhramaha. Jnanam, they'll all be resolved for good. Having said that, we saw, we continued. And again, these qualifications, titles, the like knower, the knower is Atma, Sakshi is Atma, experience is Atma. We say, you know, these titles, the temporary qualifications, the Ishwaraha, Jivaha, like that. Even the word Sakshi, which is used, Sakshitvam, Sakshita, is also temporary qualification, okay? Temporary qualification, or you can say an incidental qualification attributed to the Atma reality from the standpoint of the experience are the states of mind which are experienced. The state from the standpoint of the objects of experience only. The standpoint of Atma, Atma is neither the Sakshi nor the knower, nothing. Atma is just the abstract formless reality. It's ever of the nature of consciousness. Understand? So, the Swarupam is consciousness. Therefore, we say what? It's implied by the term consciousness. The abstract formless reality is implied by the term existence, because existence is just Swarupam. This we understood. It's only an incidental assumption, incidental qualification, incidental definition given to the Atma from the standpoint of states of mind. Understand? So, Upalakshanam is what? An incidental assumption, incidental qualification, incidental title, incidental definition attributed to the reality. Okay, now we come to the important verse 22nd, verse number 22nd. Okay. Swarupameva me, as I said, what he briefly introduced in verse number 6. In verse number 6, verse number 2, in the second, the very beginning of this text, the very second verse, he introduced the nature of the reality as consciousness, existence, and limitlessness. The same thing is now elaborating in 3 verses. Okay. What was briefly discussed in verse number 2 is elaborately discussed again in 3 verses here. So each verse discusses exclusively a specific Swarupam. So 22nd verse discusses this existence being the Swarupam of this reality. Why we have talked about this Swarupam? Because anything non-experienceable, the human mind, you know, is only extroverted. It has to experience something. Only then it can accept it as something to be existent. It's not available for perception, imperceptible, not available for conception, not inconceivable. It cannot be described. Words cannot describe it. It's indescribable. That doesn't exist. We'll make a conclusion. It is non-existent. Many people of many schools of thought have this very strong view. There's no, nothing is there. Even intelligent Buddhist, finally, one school of thought, Buddhism says, Shunyam, nothing is there. Nothing is there. Nothingness, they say, the void is there. They say all these things. Only in our Vedanta Shastram, we say, no, there is an amazing, inexplicably, subtlest vastu. Okay? And that vastu is formless. Formless, subtlest, abstract. Therefore, it should not be mistaken for non-existent. And what is it? Let us use the terms. No term word can be used. The words which can use to reveal the vastu must be what? The Swarupam. The nature of reality, the words implying the nature of reality must be used to reveal the vastu. If I can say book, mic, phone, flower, I can use any words to denote a gross object. Abstract, formless, subtlest, all-pervasive reality is absolute entity. Is absolute entity. The only entity, the only truth, the only swarup of everything. So what word can be used? Therefore, these important 3 words we are using here. These 3 words do not denote 3 different things. All these 3 words reveal the reality, only in terms of its nature. Swarupam. So first we take this existence. Swarupameva me sattvam. Swarupameva me sattvam. Natu dharmo na bhastvavat. Natu dharmo na bhastvavat. Madanyasya sato bhavat. Bhavat. Nahi sajjati rishyate. Nahi sajjati rishyate. So what he says in there is very important. very important verse, presents a very profound, subtle teaching here. What he says, okay, this reality, there is reality, there is truth. And what is the truth? What is reality? Reality is that without which, if it is not, okay, without which there cannot be this world of plurality. There cannot be what we talk of as elements, elementals, mobile beings, immobile beings, the jagat, actions, then the results of actions, the laws determining results of actions, experience of pairs of opposites, this life, this world, this plurality, this experience, nothing is possible if that one thing is not there. That one thing. I say there was a thing also, okay? There's something abstract, formless, without which this life is not possible, existence of the universe is not possible. That is what is said to be the reality, absolute reality, ultimate truth. And that absolute reality, ultimate truth, is the most abstract, subtlest, formless, attributeless. No attributes, therefore description is not possible, perception is not possible, perception of it is not possible, even conceiving mentally is not at all possible, because it is the very truth because of which perception is possible, description is possible, description of anything is possible, perception of anything is possible, even conceiving of anything is possible, okay, even functions are possible because of that. So that, because of which anything, the possibility of anything is, that is not, okay, that is, cannot be understood at all in any other way. And how it is arrived at? Only in terms of its nature. And what's the nature of it? It is sattvam. First, it is sattvam. Okay, sattva means existence. Sattva also means an existent object. Okay. Sat means anything existent also can be said to be sat. Existence also is sat. Therefore, sattvam can take it as existence. Noun it is existence. So sattvam eva me swarupam. What is the nature of that abstract, absolute reality? Existence. And the question you ask, why does that reality exist? If you ask, being existent is the nature. There's no reason why it should. Okay, why it exists? Exists, existence is its nature. But still, what is it existence? Swarupam. Is it's the nature of the reality means, see, in Tarka, in other schools, sometimes they take this reality implied by the term Atma as a substance. See, even sometimes I use the word substance for want of expression, just to make you understand. The substance of the substantive ocean is water. That water alone has substantiality. Minus the substance, the substantive ocean will lose its existence. In the same way, aham, when you say the substance of the substantive I is abstract, formless reality. I use the term, but actually speaking, substance means something, you think of something, isn't it? So they take, okay, Atma is some substance. Okay, that means they say the consciousness or existence, what is an attribute. Okay, attribute. So when you say here, attribute, gunaha. Attribute is a gunaha. Attribute or a property. If I say blue flower, beautiful flower, fragrant flower, tiny flower, or big flower. I can do many adjectives to denote only one flower, isn't it? A blue flower, fragrant flower, beautiful flower, tiny flower, a big flower. So all these are attributes. So attributes can never exist independently without a qualifying noun. Is it? Without noun. Dependent. But here, swarupam is what? not an attribute which has dependence, which is independent entity. Isn't it? No, it's not an attribute because it has no dependence upon anything. Existence has no dependence upon anything like any other attribute. You can say the property, fragrance is the property of jasmine. When you say the property belongs to the jasmine, an attribute, not just an attribute. The property. So even this existence is not even a property. It's not a property belonging to the reality. It is not an attribute belonging to the reality, because properties and attributes are subject to change, subject to get resolved. Then when an object gets destroyed, property also will get destroyed. Okay. That's why it is not an attribute. It is not a property. Then what is it now? Swarupam. Swarupam means what? Swarupam means that which is absolutely indestructible, unchangeable, changeless is what? Swarupam. So he says Swarupam. Therefore, Sattvam, Swarupameva, may Swarupameva Sattvam. See, because he says may, don't think may means the form. For me, when is Acharya, the Lakshmidhara Kavihi, places the I, sees the meaning of the word I as abstract, formless reality, and he says what? My Swarupam. Okay? The Swarupam of me, the abstract, formless reality, is existence. And existence, natu dharmaha. Natu dharmaha. Why? Because, why dharmaha? Please understand. The next word he says, Satta jatihi na ishyati. It's important. This is what is important lesson. Satta jatihi na ishyati. Satta jatihi na ishyati means what? I want to understand here. The word jatihi, okay, literally means, as I explained to you, but today I really want to make it very clear. It is one of the many, so in Tarka Shastra we have different way of explaining it. Jatihi is actually generic attribute. A generic attribute, the classification based on generic attribute. Classification based on generic attribute is what? Jatihi. Even though the word jatihi, Esther also explained this. Now, let me tell you, as I said, all the animals form one. Animals are all one jati. When you say, what is animal? Animal, if you see any animal, any part of the world, you can say, you recognize the animal as an animal because of the certain features. They're common features. Even some animal which you have not seen at all in your life, first time you're seeing that, you can say, oh, it must be an animal. Some animal, I don't know what the name of it is, which animal. So certain generic features, okay, belonging to only animals, they are universal features. So universal generic features based on which an animal can be classified as an animal. Understand? Similarly, if you take specifically the cow, even though you're not seeing the cows in England, I have seen cows in India in the villages. When I go to England, even though they look different and all that, still I can make out it is only cow. I can see the cow in England as a cow because what now? There's a generic, universal, universal features or attributes they have. It's called gotvam. Gotvam means what? Cowness. Cowness is good. Only the cowness is understood based on specific, universal, generic features belonging to the cow. Understand? It's called jatihi. Based on which class, it is cow. It can classify it as what? It is a cow. Isn't it? It's like that. All living beings have now universal, generic features. Based on which beings can be, classification of beings is possible. Is it clear now? The human beings, even though sometimes now some people look very different, go to Africa, go to different people look different. People that come to India, they also look at us differently because now we are different complexions. Not only fair, dark, darker, darkest, fair, fairer, fairest. Different complexions in India, in the tropical countries, we can see in Sri Lanka and India and all this, then we can see. In China, you can see mostly fair only. Dark people you don't see. But in India, we have our own. Like that, the generic, is that even though we are different colors, still we are not looked upon as animals. Understand? Even if we go to only human beings, the common, the universal, common, generic features or attributes based on which certain beings are classified as human beings. Okay, that's called what now? Manushyatvam. Manushya sambandha vishyaha. No? So, manushyatvam, humanness, or mrigatvam, animalness, or gotvam, cowness, vrikshatvam, tree-ness. Tree-ness. You mean, okay, tree means what? These are the certain. Your tree, any part of the world you go and see the tree will be like this. Isn't it? Tree means this. Is, even though in India we have all the time green leaves, still if you go to England in 3-4 months, then we will like stand a dead stick, okay? All leaves fall, still we can make it a tree only. What I'm saying, vrikshatvam. Like this, the beings in the world, there is a classification of beings in the world based on universal, generic properties or attributes or features. They're all dharma. So, for us to say it's a dharma, if we say existence is a dharma, then it must be universal, generic attribute or property. Like how manushyatvam or gotvam or simhatvam, vrikshatvam is an attribute. It is a something, the universal generic feature attribute. But here you cannot say it is not a universal generic feature, jati. So we can't say this abstract reality, formless reality has universal generic feature. Existence is not universal generic feature. Why the Tarkika say that way? Because just as the tree, vrikshatvam, the tree-ness is seen in this particular tree, it is seen in any tree, universally. So what he thinks is, that's why it's what now? Jati. Jati means what? Universal generic attribute based on which classification is made. Therefore, existence also is a generic universal attribute of the reality, Atma. They conclude. Why? Because every object is what? Every object is said to be what? Existent object. An object known is what? Existent object. What is Mike? An existent object. What is this? An existent object. What is that existent object? You go to London, you see Sherlock Holmes' house, existent object. Bus is existent object. Tube is existent object. Wherever you go, whichever, anything and everything you see, and continuously you see objects, objects, objects. Wherever you in whichever part of the world you go, you are always a knower, seer, and you are seeing varieties of objects and people, and every object you see experiences what? An existent object. You cannot see something which is non-existent. So every object which is experienced, enjoyed, understood, seen, perceived is what? An existent. Therefore, existent. Therefore, existence is a universal generic feature, every attribute. This is what they conclude. Understand? And that is where the problem comes. Got it now? So he refutes that idea. No, no. Like how cowness is seen universally on the part of all the cows. Vikshatam treeness is seen on the part of all the trees, any part of the world universally. Manushyatam is seen on the part of all human beings in any part everywhere. In spite of the differences, we said there's certain common generic attribute feature, the universally the same. Therefore, we can say it's an attribute, but this existence cannot be taken to be, just because existence is enjoyed by every object, you cannot take it as what? A universal generic attribute. Understand why? Because we'll talk about the universal generic attribute. Understand? It associates with what? The universal generic attribute can be associated only with plurality of forms. Trees are countless, animals are countless, cows are countless, human beings are countless. So the many, there must be many, universally there must be plurality of beings. Then you can talk about, you have to classify the beings. For the sake of classifying, you use what now? This universal generic attribute, which is called jati. Okay. As manushya jati, mruga jati, vriksha jati, sthavara jati, etc. But here, it is how many consciousnesses are there? Or how many realities are there? How many realities are there? Reality of all species of all jatis is only one. One being one, all pervasive. You cannot talk about the, okay, this universal generic feature used for classification. Understand now? Is it clear or not? So existence, is it clear now? Why existence is not an attribute, a property, it's only a swarupam. Why he says that is a, why Tarkika says it is an attribute? Because you universally, you see, existence is universally there with every object. Therefore, I can't take it as an attribute. No. Even though it is being one all pervasive, okay, it is there as the existence of everything. That doesn't mean it's not a property. Why? Because properties, attributes should always qualify a noun, depend on the nouns. Again, subject to change. Whereas existence is what? It's a swarupam, it's a changeless nature. It is not an attribute. It's not a prophet. Is it clear? So that's what he says. Natu dharma. Now, nabhastvam. We talk about the nabhastvam, spaceness. Even nabhastvam is not a universal generic feature. Why? I see space there. Can you say that? I see space in England. I see space in Africa. I see space in Bahamas, America, and Australia and India. So space also I see everywhere. Therefore, now spaceness also is a universal generic feature. Can you say that? You cannot see. You can talk about the generic universal feature only if there's plurality. There are many. Understand? You don't need to classify it. Space is one. So spaceness is the, being the space, it is nature of the substance called space. Understand now? Is it clear? There must be many. Classification is possible only if there are many, if there's a plurality of beings. There's only, so he has taken only nabhastvavate, sattvam, okay, even sattvam, swarupameva, natu dharmaha. Just as space being one all pervasive, indivisible, undivided, partless entity, it cannot be classified as something which belongs to which group of beings. So classification of something itself is possible, you can talk about the universality or universal generic features only if there are many, many, many beings. Nabastvam also is not the dharma, not an attribute. Spaceness is what? The nature of the space. That is how space can be. Like that, it is not a universal generic attribute or property. It is just the surupama of the reality. And what is that existence, the surupama of the reality? The existence also always has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of consciousness. Existence is the surupam. The consciousness is the surupam. We use the term existence when? See, if I say light, without the light, opaque thing has no existence. This light, opaque thing enjoys existence, which means existence of the light is the existence of the opaque thing. Therefore, exist. And then light is the existence with reference to opaque thing. In the same way, without the knower consciousness, the known has no independent existence. The knower consciousness is what? Consciousness is in the form of existence of everything. So why does consciousness exist? Being existent is its nature. That's why we say, is it clear now? How do you set the sentence now? Sattvam me swarupameva nabastravat natu dharma. Is it clear now? What?
Yes, the example was.
No other example can be given.
Time's relative.
See, what I'm saying, the idea is that is true. We are not talking about the example. You cannot give any example at all for. We cannot give any example for consciousness. Okay, it is absolute reality. At least space, we can say, apart from everything else, space is the only one thing which can say one indivisible, undivided, partless. Always space is taken the shastra. Understand? It is not an attribute. Spaceness is not an attribute of the space. Understand? Swarupam. Because it is attribute property is used for what? For classifying. You, based on the attributes, based on the features, the classification is done. Again, these features and attributes must be universal generic. Only then you can what? You can talk about the classification of species. That is why jatihina ishyate sataha. Why? There is no sat. There is no existence at all. There is no such thing called existence at all other than this abstract, formless, subtlest reality. Understand? And what is existence? Existence is abstract, formless, subtlest reality. And existence is the very swarupam, not dharma. Not an attribute or a property which is dependent on the qualifying objects, subject to change, and which is, okay, belongs to something which is a universal generic feature. Okay. Madanyasya sataha abhavat. So there's a second existence. There's no second space. Similarly, there's no second existence. There's no second reality. Reality, abstract, formless reality is one, and this is of the nature of existence, and there's no second reality, there's no second existence. Are there two existences? No. How many cows are there? Countless. How many human beings are there? Countless. All object, within the realm of the objective universe. How many spaces are there? Okay, plurality of beings must be there. Then you have to talk about what? Universal generic features, and based on attributes, which are attributes, properties based on which classification is possible. But space is one. Understand? This can be classified here. In the same way, this abstract formless reality is all pervasive reality happens to be one. Second reality is not there. Second existence is not there. There are many existences. Existence is Nitya Ekavachana Shabda. Understand? Ever single only. And that's why it is not a Dharma, it is Swarupam. Is it clear? Okay.
It's nothing to do with, you know, in chapter verse 16, the books of the heart, of nothing like that.
Yeah. No, there he is defining what is Sat. What is existence, he says. Existence is that which has no beginning, which has no end, which is not subject to. What is real? Sat means real, isn't it? That's, of course, what is existence? Real existence is that reality. Reality is existence. And that reality, which is off the chair of existence, has no beginning, no end. Existence has no beginning. You say reality has no beginning. That which is real is has no beginning. No end means what? Reality, existence has no beginning. Existence has no end. Existence is not subject to change. Existence has no dependence upon anything else for its existence. Existence cannot be dependent. Understand? Existence has no dependence upon anything else for its existence. Understand? So now we say attribute means what? Property means dependent. Blueness cannot be there specially without some object, which is a color. Fragrance cannot be there by itself, without by itself. Fragrance must be of something. And that attribute means dependent, whereas Swarup means independent. So existence is independent. That's why there you understand what is real Sat. Real is that which has no beginning, no end, which is not subject to change, and which does not depend upon anything else for its existence is Sat. And there you can understand Asat as Mithya. Mithya is that which has seeming existence, which has beginning, which has end, in between which is subject to change, to be dependent existence that you understand. And here, that absolute, abstract, formless reality, which is defined there, is nothing but existence, pure existence itself. Understand? Reality has to be understood in terms of its nature of pure existence. That is why Bhagavan is also, look at reality as Ishvara, I say what? Sadrupaha. It's a Vuladai. Vulad. Aruvai, Uruvai, Giladai, Vuladai. No? Vulad means what? Existence is Surupa. Then we go to the next verse. Is it clear now? Hereafter, we should not have any doubt at all. Don't take the meaning of the word noun existence for granted. Existence is truth. Existence independent entity. Because formless, imperceptible, inconceivable, indescribable, therefore non-existent. Don't make such conclusion. Okay? Existence, you cannot see through physical eyes, but you can understand existence being manifest as the existence enjoyed by everything that is here. Understand? Everything which enjoys, which is here, experienced, known, understood, enjoys existence. That existence associated with any object of any form, name and function is reality. And if we remove the form cognitively also, you can understand what pure existence is. Then it is something, it is not an object of experience. Existence is not object of experience. Isn't it? You experience the existence, you objectify the existence as an existence enjoyed by an object associated with the Namarupa. Without Namarupa, existence pure is not available for experience. Get it? Abstract. Okay. It is not desirable. It's not desired. Sataha jatihi na ishyate means it is not agreeable, desirable. Okay? It's not desired. What is not desired? This. Okay? Sat existence being taken to be a universal generic attribute or property. Okay? For classification is not desirable, not desired. Ishyate literally means is desired, not desired. Means what? Is not correct. The poetic expression, they write the verses like that. Is it clear now? Okay. Swarupameva me jnanam. Swarupameva me jnanam. See, always understand this. Any object having an attribute, an object can have an attribute. Any object must have some attribute or the other. Something or the other it must have for it to be described. An attribute, which is a feature, which is a property, a characteristic feature or a property, an attribute. Something every object has it, isn't it? And the objects are plural in number. And there's not only one chair, not only one table, not only one human being, not only one plant. Everything countless in number in the world, isn't it? Countless. Therefore, what do we say here? Everything is countless. Therefore, we have what? No. When you see something, immediately you can make out. Even mountains are many. You go and see, you see waterfalls are many. First time you go and see Niagara, what do you say? Oh, what is it? Don't ask. It's a waterfall. Because you know, everything has its own, every object has specific, universal, generic feature. That's why you can make out, because the plurality of beings, then that is called attribute. Understand now? Only one thing is there, that is, if that attribute, okay, only one thing is there, then classification is not possible. That we take it as what? It's nature. Why space is like this? This is how space can be. It's the nature, swarupa. Got it? So nabas is the only one thing in the objective universe. Only nabas can be used as example. Example, we shouldn't stretch it too much. Okay. Swarupameva me jnanam. Swarupameva me jnanam. I am 100% clear. I'm sure it has been made very clear. Okay. Swarupameva me jnanam. Swarupameva me jnanam. Nagunasaguno yadi, nagunasaguno yadi, anatmatvamasattvamba, anatmatvamasattvamba, geya geyatvayov patet, geyatvayov patet. Swarupameva me jnanam, swarupameva me jnanam. Na guna saguno yadi anatmatvamasattvamva geya geyatvayov patet. Okay, now again this reality, absolute reality, ultimate truth, which is of the nature of existence, which is experienced in the form of existence of the universe, existence in the of anything in this universe, that existence reality is also of what? The Swarupam of knowledge. Knowing is the Swarupam. Jnanam, known knowledge, is also gerund knowing. Knowing is the Swarupam. Knowledge is the Swarupam. Why does it know? Why does the reality know? It's not an action, it is Swarupam. Always, when you say knows, therefore it is not. Janati iti jnanam. No, anything knows me. The verb should denote only an action. But here this verb does not denote any action. The verb knows. And when you say reality knows means, light illumines means, the verb illumines does not denote an action in nature. Similarly, reality knows means the verb does not denote an action. It reveals this Swarupam, knows. Okay, so here, me jnanam me swarupam eva. Okay, me swarupam eva. Na gunaha, it is also not attribute. Because this thought, some people have this problem of looking at everything as attribute. So why can't you take is, okay, why? When you say Mike is means Mike consciousness is, Mike knowledge is. You cannot talk existence of Mike if you do not know that this is Mike, isn't it? You can say Mike is, there's existence of the Mike, you can say only if you know what there is Mike. Mike is, you know, should know what Mike is. Therefore, Mike knowledge is, therefore Mike existence is. Understand? Mike consciousness is, therefore Mike existence is. So existence presupposes what? Knowledge. Oh no, consciousness also is what now? With everything. Okay. How Gautam is with all the cows. Tree, Vrikshatam is with all the trees. I mean, universal, generic, property, attribute is all the trees. Like Manushatam is with all the human beings. Or animalness is with all the animals. Can you say the knowledge is with every object? Why? Mike is means Mike knowledge is. Mike consciousness is. Door is means door knowledge is. Isn't it? Man is means man knowledge is. Therefore, existence presupposes knowledge. Knowledge is with every object. An object is said to be an object only if it is known. Therefore, what? Every object is associated with what? Knowledge. Every object is the known object. The known object is associated with what? Knowledge. So knowledge is what? Associated with everything. Therefore, what's the universal generic attribute? He says, no. Again, this reality is one, secondless. Therefore, if you cannot take it as a universal generic attribute, it is what? Swarupam. Same thing at extent here. Is it clear now? Swarupam. Na gunaha. And he says, suppose as the other person says, the Tarka says, if it is taken as an attribute, yadi saha gunaha, okay, na gunaha saha, yadi gunaha, if jnanam is gunaha, if jnanam, knowledge is mistaken to be an attribute, then what will happen? An attribute. Attribute is always of an object only. Attribute, every object has attribute. Okay. Now if this jnanam is an attribute, then reality also becomes what now? An object. If it becomes an object, it has what now? It has the status of being anatma, non-self. If the jnanam, knowledge is taken to be an attribute, then attribute belongs only to the objects. Okay. Therefore, it will become what now? then Atma would become an object. Vatma is taken to be an object. This reality implied by the term Atma is taken to be an object. It becomes Vatma. We can't be Atma. It becomes an Anatma. Known anything and everything known is Anatma. Anything, everything known is Anatma. What is Anatma? The known is Anatma. Known is Anatma. And anything known is also what? Jadam. Yad drishyam tad jadam. Anything known is inert. This is a definition. That is inert only. And then anything known is also what? Non-self, anatma. Eh? The knower alone is atma. The self, isn't it? The knower alone is self means what? The surupma, I. Therefore, if we take this jnanam as an attribute, attribute must always qualify a noun. Okay? It's qualifying noun means it has dependence. An attribute has dependent existence. And what is about this reality? Reality is said to be of the nature of independent existence. But reality, it cannot be attribute. Then, even if we take it as like an attribute, what happens? It becomes the known object. If the reality, if it is taken to be known, then it has what? Status of being the anatma. I want to take it as this, Yeah, if it has a status of being the anatma, it also has a status of being an inert. Jadatvam it will have, anatmatvam it will have. What's anatmatvam? Anatmanness. Okay. It will have the status of being an anatma. It should be taken as an anatma. It should be taken as an inert. Anatmatvam, jadatvam will be there for this abstract formless reality if the jnanam is taken as an attribute. Jnanam gunaha va surupam va. Surupam eva na gunaha. If jnanam is taken to be gunaha, the problem will be, it will be like an object, it will become a dependent, it will have dependence, and then it will have the status of being an atma, it will have the status of being inert also. It is inappropriate. We know very well, this reality is ever of the nature of knowledge. Knowledge cannot be taken to be inert. Listen, that means this source of knowledge, pure knowledge cannot be taken to be inert. At least you can say vritti jnanam, you can say. Even vritti jnanam also involves two factors. Vritti jnanam is an object of knowledge. Vritti jnanam, which comes and goes, is object of knowledge. Even there, vritti jnanam also, there are two subtle inseparable factors are there. There again, the manifest consciousness is consciousness, and the vritti alone is jadam. You can say reflection is jadam. You can say, you know, in your mirror, if you see, okay, reflection also is jadam because reflection is, understand. So, vritti jnanam can be said to be what? At least you can say jadam, understand, but not what? Source of jnana. Reality happens to be the source of knowledge, pure knowledge. It is atma, it is pure conscious, pure knowledge. Therefore, we cannot accept this atma being said to be of some having this knowledge should not be taken as a gunaha, attribute, and it is not acceptable. What? That definitely reality cannot have the status of being anatma and also jada, inertness. Anatmatvam asatvam va jnaya ajnayatvayoho patit. Okay. This anatmatvam belongs to what? Anything known and unknown. Known also, known is object of knowledge. Unknown is, okay, agnyam is, okay, if we take the jnanam as an attribute, Atma will have the status of being an object. If it has a state, if it is, if it becomes ajneyam. Attribute means if jnanam is taken to be the attribute, then this Atma will become what? An object, jnayam. If it is jnayam, it will be anatma, it will be jadam also, become jadam. Suppose we say Atma is ajneyam. Okay, if you take the attribute as the jnanam as an attribute, it will become what is ajneyam. No, Atma is not the known object. Then what? If it is not known, what should be done? Unknown. Unknown means non-existent. You have to make the reality which is of the nature of existence to be non-existent, or mistake it as what? We'd make it an inert anatma. It is the problem. See, very, very careful. It's all for clarity. It's all for understanding. Not simply I'm conscious, I'm existence. You must know Swarupam or Gunaha. Is it an is nature or an attribute? Or it's a property? Because with words always confuse, isn't it? Anything, because always words are used as attributes. Words used to describe the attributes. Therefore, definitely, knowledge, knowing is not an attribute at all. Knowledge is the swarupam. If knowledge is taken to be the attribute, then we will end up with the problem of making Atma anatma. We'll make this consciousness Atma to be what? Inert anatma. It will have the inertness problem. There will be problem of attributing inertness to Atma. There will be problem of attributing anatmatvam, the status of being an object also, to the Atma. Then if it then Atma will should be taken as jnayam, known. If it is taken as known, then again it will have this problem of jadatvam and anatmatvam. If it is taken as ajnayam, okay, Atma is unknown. Ajnayam also, there will be the problem of Atma becoming non-existent. Therefore, what? We should not take jnanam as an attribute. Jnanam should be understood as this swarupam. Simple, it's all for reinforcement. It's not for new learning. Once you leave from this classroom and you go out, no more doubts. That is why Drit Drishya Viveka Prakriya itself is enough. It's the very first Prakriya. Isn't it? From very beginning, the first class, when we started this Shiveka Prakriya many, 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 many years ago, you know, in Mangamma's house, and also in other houses, we started that time, knower is different from the known. It's a big leap in his understanding. Oh, yes, definitely, knower cannot be the known. Knower is different from the known. And not to the physical body, and within physical body, we have this physiological functions. They're also known, even though they're not seen through physical eyes, they're understood. The objects of knowledge, the subtle powers are objects of knowledge. Subtle powers, we don't see them through physical eyes, but still they're all known to us, the objects of knowledge. Isn't karmendyani, jnanendyani, pancha pranaha? Of course, mind, our mind is also inexplicably subtle, still it is understood. In terms of the state of experience, three states of experience. Isn't it? And you know how attention goes all over. And you make out where the attention is, where the attention is not. You make out means if attention, where is the attention, where the attention is not, is known to you, definitely. So, based on what? Even mind is an object of knowledge. What can we talk of? Ahankara is object of knowledge. What is ahankara? Knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, all this object of knowledge which comes and goes. If it is knowledge of self-existence always there, then you are sitting like an owl. You're not sleeping. Knowledge of self-existence resolves means sleep. Samanya Nidra, ordinary sleep. And not knowing what I am is what? Mahanidra. Anyway, it is self-ignorance only. Samanya Nidra, Mahanidra, ordinary sleep. If you do not know you are, it's ordinary sleep. If you do not know what you are, what this I am is, that is what Mahanidra. Waking up from that Mahanidra is difficult. In ordinary Nidra, even if you don't wake up, Bhagavan wakes you up. Bhagavan of order wakes you up to exhaust your part of the karma. Understand? So to wake up from Mahanidra, you need Bhagavan's grace, you need Shastra Pramanam, and you need, isn't it? You need Punyam, you need, in fact, even desperate interest, you need your own initiative. I must know, I must want knowledge. If you are not interested, it will not happen by yourself. Whether you want to know that you are or not, still you know you are. Bhagavan has given you that. I do not want to know what I am means nobody is going to bother. Okay, there must be initiative on your part. I want to know what I am. That is possible only if you know the value of the jnana. That is why Mahanidra, waking up from Mahanidra involves tremendous effort. Waking up from Samanya Nidra happens. Therefore, we understand what the knower of this Nidra, knower of the sleep, isn't it? Knower of the sleep is what? Distinct from the sleep. Isn't it? That knower, if you really see, there is a knower, without there is no knower, sleep cannot be known. Sleep is what? Not knowing one's own existence. I can be without knowing my own existence. I can be without knowing my own existence, isn't it? I can be knowing my existence. I can be without knowing my existence. I can be knowing what I am. I can be without knowing what I am also. We are here now. We are here, isn't it? Therefore, I can be without knowing my existence. Therefore, I do not go anywhere else. I cannot go anywhere else. I can never disappear. Understand? Because being is my nature. Existence is my nature. Understand? Therefore, here, why do I know? I know my existence, isn't it? I also know. I know the knowledge of my existence and the ignorance of my existence. Therefore, I am always the knower. I am always the knower means I am knower on the standpoint of the known. And who am I the knower? Why do I know? Knowing is Swarupam. Therefore, knowing is the Swarupam, not Gunaha. And you have to write these notes. Kimartam Jnanam Atmanaha Swarupameva Na Gunaha. Why Jnanam is the Swarupam, not an attribute? Got it? That's how you make a note. When you make notes, you have to make notes like that. Okay, you always make notes, that's what I'm saying. Kimartam Jnanam Atmanaha Swarupam Natu Vastunaha Swarupam Na Gunaha. Kimartam Sattam Vastunaha Swarupam Na Gunaha. Point 1, 2, 3, you had right. So, Atva Gneya Agneyatvayoho Patet. If we mistake the jnanam to be an attribute, then this abstract formless reality will come under the category of the known or the unknown. An object can be either the known or the unknown. known object, if it takes a known object, then it will become what? Anatma. There will be a problem of being an anatma. We have the problem of being inert. That's two problems will be there. You take it to be unknown also. Unknown will become what? Non-existent also. Atma becomes non-existent. Like Sunyavadi, we say what? Shunyam. We'll say that. Therefore, no. Because of the abstractness, subtleness alone, this reality, though it is absolutely independent entity, is mistaken to be shunyam by Buddhists. No, not Buddhists are not ordinary people, brilliant people. Because Shankaracharya himself accepts that. How? Because they help Shankaracharya. You know why? Swami used to say this, Prathama Malla Nyaya. Instead of negating all different ways, so many schools of thought, so many schools of thought, so many systems of philosophy, there are different views. Every view have been a school of thought. It has its own, you know, fallacy, it's logical loopholes, logical fallacy, mistakes. But here, so he does not need to make effort to knock off every small people, you know, all different schools of thought with their own logical fallacies. No, he just leaves them. Buddhist knocks them off. Buddhist intelligently, brilliantly knocks off all systems, schools of thought. Okay, and even then, and they think on the Shunyavadi, and one says Asatkaryavadi and Satkaryavadi, and then there again, he says Kshanika Vijnanavadi, different problems. But finally, it is easy to say, we'll knock off Kshanika Vijnanavadi and also Shunyavadi. They say this abstractness, formlessness, subtleness alone. Somehow they couldn't take it as an entity. This is Shunyam. That is when the Shankara Bhagavatpada establishes knowledge happens. There is knower. That formless abstractness is what? Abstractness, formless reality is what? In fact, the entity. Independent entity. It knows. Therefore, even the title of knower from the standpoint of the known. Why it knows? Swarupam. Jnanam is just swarupam. Is it clear now? Swarupam eva me jnanam naguna saguno yadi anatmatvam asatvam va jnaya jnayatvayo patet Jnaya Ajnayatvam. Jnayatvam Ajnayatvam means it is this abstract formless reality implied by the Tamatma will have the status of being the known or the unknown if the Jnanam is taken to be an attribute as an object. If it's taken to be a known object, it will have this problem of being inert and anatma. If it's taken to be an unknown, it will have the sense of being non-existent. So anyway, taking it as a gunaha is inappropriate, incorrect. It is not a gunaha, it is swarupam. Okay. So I'll stop here. The one more verse we have, not one more verse. It's a beautiful one. Another one. No, it falls. It will fall under the category of an object having the status of being the known or the unknown. Yeah. See, no. It will fall under between these two. Gayatve patet. Gayatve patet means. See, Gayatve Patet, it will fall in, okay, under the category of something known. Something which has a status of being the known. Ajnayatve patet means it will fall under the category of something which has a status of being the unknown. Is it clear? My translation is the best translation, Sardaka. No, no. See, didn't I explain that? You know, anatmatvam means having the status of being an anatma. Asatvam means having the status of being non-existent. And also, you had to include one more, jadatvam also. Anatmatvam is equal to what? Having the status of being an anatma, having the status of being an inert object. And then asatvam means what? Having the status of being that which has, having the status of being an inert object or non-existent. Asatvam means non-existent. Having the status of being a non-existent is asatvam. Having the status of being anatma is anatmatvam. Got it? Yeah. And then jnayatvam means what? Having the status of being the known. Ajnayatvam means having the status of being the unknown. If you take it, if you take this gunaha, jnanam as an attribute, these problems will be there. Okay? It will become inappropriate ones. But we know definitely this reality is not anatma, it is the atma. Atma means what? So it's not a, it is not an object, it is the surup of the knower. That's why we say it is not anatma. It's atma. If it is atma, you can't, if it takes a gunaha, it becomes anatma. Therefore, you can't take it as a gunaha. Understand? When you take it as anatma, it also you have the problem of being inert. And we always know atma is ever of the nature of consciousness. We understand. All these prakriyas help us arrive to stumble upon the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. And how can you say it is inert? It cannot, if it is inert, it cannot have the status of being the knower. So, and then if it comes and if it also becomes an object, because only objects have what? The attributes. If it has an attribute, if it is the, it falls under the category of the known or the unknown. If it's taken to be known, again it has this problem. Unknown means it has set of being the asatvam. See, here anatmatvam, if it has the status of being, if it's taken to be something having the status of being the known, it have anatmatvam. If it is taken to be the non-existent, okay, then it will have what? Asatvam, the problem of non-existent. Unknown. If it is taken to be something which has the status of being the unknown, it will fall in the category of the word known, the non-existent. Vituchyam, understand? Therefore, anyway, cannot be taken as the gunaha, it's the sorupam. Yeah. See, jnanam me swarupam eva. Full stop. Na gunaha. Jnanam me na gunaha. Jnanam me swarupam eva. Sentence number one. Okay. Then, yadi gunaha, yadi jnanam gunaha, it is swikriyate tarhi. Jnaya ajnayatvayoho patet. Jnaya ajnayatvayoho patet. Va anatmatvam asatvam va bhavet. Anatmatvam asatvam cha bhavet. Okay?
Would make it. a logician would argue that this is not existent.
No, he is not arguing. See, he doesn't argue. There is no argument at all about the non-existence. What he says, if we very, very careful, the people who mistake this knowledge to be an attribute, not as the swarupam, not as the intrinsic nature. They do not, people, they take it this knowledge as knowing, they do not take it as an intrinsic, unchanging nature. They take it as an attribute. If you take it as an attribute, there will be a problem. Attribute can belong only to an object. It can come, it can be known or an unknown. Understand? If it is an object, understand what happens? If we take it as a known object, okay, then what happens? There'll be a problem of becoming what? Anatma. An object is anatma. And also what? It will have, there'll be a problem of mistaking it for inert object also. Inertness is not nothing to do with Atma. And suppose you, okay, I do not know Atma. If it comes under the category of Anatma also, it will have the problem, there will be a problem of being non-existent. Unknown means non-existent. I do not know Atma. Means what? Unknown is non-existent. Asattu. Now, I can see what you are thinking of. How can everything unknown be non-existent? No, that is a different thing. Unknown also, anything unknown also has knowability. Knowable. It can become the known when it becomes known. That's a different thing. Okay, is it clear now? It's okay. I'm asking. I'm just assuming that you have some doubts. That's all. You may not have doubts also. So don't worry. At least for the whole hour, you know definitely jnanam, sattvam, existence and knowledge are not attributes. Swarupam, you know very well. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Jai Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.